Also means a row. Now, Purushavalihi means a row of men. Mahilavalihi, row of women. Deepa Avalihi, row of lamps. Lights. So the row of lamps implies the day of light. Day of light means day of mukti, jnana, knowledge. So the dark, we have it on Amavasya. Amavasya means new moon day. And the new moon day, especially this autumn, end of autumn season, is still autumn for us in India. So in autumnal new moon, very cloudy, raining, and very dark, especially new moon day. And the darkness stands for ignorance in our minds. And because we don't see Bhagavan outside also, we don't see Bhagavan inside. As the very self. Therefore, you don't see Bhagavan outside. Once you don't see Bhagavan outside, you see only the Jagat. That is what darkness. The darkness is our ignorance. And that darkness has to be illumined, dispelled only by the light of knowledge. So the darkness is ignorance, and that light is knowledge, and ignorance is again symbolized. Symbolic, we have Narakasura. Is a ignorance personified as Narakasura. And the demon called Narakasura, he has to be destroyed. So Bhagavan has to come in the form of knowledge, Krishna. So, the Deepavali day, what is very important is Ganga Snanam. You know, bath in Ganga river Ganges. And Ganga, of course, any river in India is a very holy river. And from the Vedic, suppose the same Vedic vision, you see anything, everything is divine here, isn't it? Everything is manifestation of Bhagavan, knowledge means everything is divine here, nothing is not divine here. So any river in my books, even Thames or Rhine, any river anywhere, part of the world is divine only. But even in India, we have so many rivers. Of all of them, Yamuna and Ganga are very special rivers. Not because the water, the flow in the same, those rivers is different. The same water is flowing in Ganga and Yamuna. And those are special rivers because people think Yamuna is a very famous river, very popular river, because Lord Krishna had a lot of fun on the banks of Yamuna with the gopis. Because Lord Krishna himself was playing on the bank of Yamuna. So it is, people think it's holy river. Bhagavan's feet were there on the bank of Yamuna. That's what people think. Actually speaking, the river Yamuna stands for yoga. No? Yoga means it is a way of life. The sanatanaha dharma, the way of life, the Vedic way of life, completely governed by dharma. The dharma governed Vedic way of life, and which contributes for mental preparation for knowledge, you know, emotional maturity which is required for jnanam. That is what is implied with the word yoga. And river, you have the Yamuna river, stands for, symbolizes yoga. And river Ganga is said to be the most, in fact the holiest of the rivers. Why? Because the river Ganga stands for jnanam, knowledge. Just as Vedic wisdom, Veda, the Vedanta, the Veda itself, as a whole Veda, is a timeless shastram. If you ask me, today we have Vedantic teaching available, because teaching tradition is still alive. It is not a broken lineage of teachers. It is not broken. The unbroken chain of teaching tradition is still maintained in India. There are many teachers teaching all over. And because they are teaching, because they had teachers, and they had teachers, how you know today you had a great grandfather without any doubt, even though you haven't seen. So we can say, because the teaching tradition is still alive in India, we still have, what now? You trace who would have been the foremost of the teachers. Ultimately, we say Bhagavan himself. Because Vedic teaching tradition has been there from time immemorial. not knowing. If you ask me who was the first teacher, I got it from my teacher. That's all I can say. You can say how I am born because I had a father. And maximum you can say I had my grandfather. Then before that, your grandfather also had a grandfather. Similarly, your presence itself is the proof for you are having the, you know, the beginningless lineage. Similarly, here also, the Vedic teaching, the teaching tradition also has been there timelessly. So that is why we always say the beginning link, the foremost and the first or the beginning link of the lineage of teaching tradition is Bhagavan himself. Where we say Sadashiva Samarambham Vyasa Shankara Madhyamam Asmadachari Paryantam Vande Guru Parampara. So this Vedic wisdom being timeless, because you cannot trace the roots of the teaching tradition, not possible. You know, you can only know that the roots are, but it's beginningless, isn't it? Similarly, you cannot trace the origin of the river Ganga also, any river for that matter. In a river somewhere, at one point, it all the small streams in the Himalayan mountains, they all get together and then they just flow together as a huge river, wide, big river. Really speaking, where exactly river Ganga begins, what is the origin? There's a place called Gangotri where you can see the origin of river Ganga, they say. But still, that's not the real origin. Even to come there, then it must be coming elsewhere. So that's why we always say in Tamil, in English, Sanskrit also, Rishi Moolam, never ask the Rishi Moolam and Nadi Moolam. Because nobody knows the real starting point of the any river. We all say Thames, where does the Thames river begin? Tell me. Where exactly it begins, the first place where it begins from. You all must be knowing one point. But where does the river actually come from to that point? Any river, if you see, it traces its origin, where exactly the river begins. It is difficult to find. You cannot find out. Because so many small streams somewhere in the mountains, somewhere must be joined together and coming together. Especially Ganga comes from Himalayan. So many things get together and come from Himalayas. You only know Ganga comes from Himalayas, that's all. Nobody knows exactly the origin. Therefore, this Ganga, because it's the moolam, the root, the source of the origin of Ganga is not traceable. So, like how the Shastra, the teaching tradition, in a beginning link of the teaching tradition is not traceable, the Ganga is really likened to the Vedic tradition, Vedic wisdom. And Ganga is again flowing unobstructedly. Never does it stop. Nothing can stop Ganga. The flow is always continuously it's flowing. So, the Vedantic teaching also, has been the teaching. You know, through the teaching tradition, lineage of teachers, is being flowing down, you know, through the unbroken lineage of teachers. Unobstructedly, the Vedic wisdom has been flowing down through the one teacher to the other's teacher, one to the teacher to the student becomes a teacher, like it's been flowing down. Unobstructedly, wisdom has been flowing down, from one person to the other person. And you always know knowledge always is in the mind, isn't it? Not in the legs, not the thighs anywhere. So knowledge is the mind, means it's all in the form of a thought. So from the teacher, the knowledge becomes transferred and it goes to what now other person's, the listener's mind only. Now the low place of knowledge is the mind. From this mind, the mind knowledge goes to other person's mind. Amazing, isn't it? Doesn't go to any part of the body. Straight to the mind to mind. Transference from mind to mind. And the transference for the knowledge to become transferred from one mind to another mind, it must be where it must get expressed, isn't it? The thought has to be expressed. So thought gets expressed through the words. That's why we say the words are the vehicle through which the knowledge becomes transferred from one mind to the other mind. And the words have to enter into the ear of the listener, give goes to the mind, again on becomes the thought in the mind. It was thought unmanifest, becomes manifest through teaching, again goes to the listener's mind, becomes unmanifest. Again, when that person speaks, it becomes manifest. It is called what now? That is why wisdom has been flowing down continuously. Unmanifest, manifest, unmanifest, manifest, unmanifest, manifest. It is called perennially eternal. Vedic wisdom has been perennially eternal. Therefore, and this Ganga also, that's why the Ganga river, Ganga is most the holiest river for us, because it's likened to the Shastra, this unbroken, unobstructed flow of Vedic wisdom through one teacher to the student, like that has been coming down. The only teaching tradition which is still alive in India somehow. And then that's why the Ganga for us ordinary people, how to make them understand the importance of the Vedic study. So at least initially, this so blindly people will go. If you see crowds, so today you should see the crowd in all over, wherever Ganga river is flowing in India, every river bank is too crowded today. People are supposed to go and have dip in Ganga, at least 3 dips minimum. Too crowded now. You can't go and scrub your dirt on. Just go, get. You have to have shower first. Wearing clean clothes, you're supposed to go. Ganga is not a simple not for swimming. Go and have, first before entering the water, just do namaskaram to the river, then enter into the water, then you bow to Ganga Mata. We call Ganga as a mother, because of Veda, Ganga river, what is what? What is the unobstructedly, the unobstructed flow of Vedic wisdom is in the form of Ganga water. So just you bow to the Ganga Mata, then you sprinkle the water, then you make yourself cleansed, then you have supposed to have hold it tight in your nose, go 3 dips and come out. It's very important. It's called Ganga Sanam. Deepavali, the day means Ganga Sanam. So we also invoke Ganga here, the theme's water. We all had Ganga Sanam today. That means what? The 3 dips actually, one dip stands for Shravanam, next dip stands for Mananam, 2 dips. And the 2 dips means what? The Shravanam and the Mananam, which is the Vedanta Shastra Shravanam, then continuously, regularly, systematically, and for commitment, all commitment from a competent teacher for length of time done, he should bless you with understanding of the subject matter of the Shastra. Then when you reflect on what you have heard and understood, your doubts also resolve, and all different views of other people, of the self, different views of the reality of other people, other schools of thought, all those views also you can resolve. How you can see the fallacies of, limitations of the vision of, view of different schools of thought, of reality, a self, etc. You resolve all those doubts. How? By dwelling upon, reflecting on what you have retained in your mind. How can you reflect on what if you have not retained? And how can you retain if you have not heard? So listening is so important directly from the teacher, because any book can give you only translation but not the teaching methodology. The teaching methodology being inbuilt in the very textbook. The teaching only through only when you are listening to the unfoldment of the Shastram through appropriate method of unfoldment, then the teaching becomes clear. The Shravanam and then Mananam will bless you with what now? Aparoksha Jnanam. Aparoksha Jnanam. Aparoksha Jnanam means what? The self-knowledge, Atma Jnanam or Brahma Jnanam, is said to be Aparoksha Jnanam. Because generally, anything when you say light knowledge, sound knowledge, taste knowledge, smell knowledge, means what? Knowledge of different objects. Like self-knowledge or brahma-jnanam, knowledge of the reality also, should not be taken as the knowledge of any other object. Because knowledge, self-knowledge or knowledge of the reality is not like the knowledge of any other object. Any other object happens to be different from you, the knower. That object of knowledge is either it can be a pratyaksha jnanam, direct knowledge of an object, or it can be an indirect knowledge of an object. Isn't it? But self-knowledge is neither a direct knowledge nor is it an indirect knowledge. Then what is it then? It is not knowledge. Knowledge of an object alone can be said to be direct or indirect knowledge. But knowledge of the self is said to be immediate knowledge. In Sanskrit we say pratyaksha jnanam, paroksha jnanam. And the knowledge of the self is neither the pratyaksha nor paroksha, it is aparoksha jnanam. And aparoksha jnanam is, one can have, aparoksha jnanam actually is not knowledge of the self, okay? It is recognition of the self which is already known. Understand? Knowledge of an object is something which is newly known. Isn't it? Recognition means what? Something which is already known to you. Recognition of what is already known, thereby claiming that self as yourself, the truth as one's own self, is aparoksha jnanam. Which is not, why do I want to say, direct, this aparoksha jnanam should not be mistaken as direct knowledge of the self. I should not be mistaken as direct experience of the self, direct realization of the self. Because people have wrong understanding. If self-knowledge is an experience, means self is not an object, therefore direct experiences of the self is not possible. One cannot have direct experience of the self because self is not an object at all first. Oneself, one thing which is the subject which cannot be object also simultaneously, isn't it? The thing which is a subject cannot be an object also simultaneously. Therefore, self being the knower, subject of knowledge, so we cannot say self is both subject and object of knowledge also. And even if we say self is subject of knowledge also, self is not the subject which is only in a given particular experience. Get what I'm saying? Because subject means what? Knower is, in every experience, there's a knower, known knowledge. Like that, in which experience self is a subject? Self is not a subject in a given particular experience. Self is not an object of experience because self is not the object. The self cannot be both subject and object of knowledge also. Therefore, self is not an object. It is not possible for one to say, I have direct experience of self, because there is no such thing called a direct experience of self. That means aparoksha jnanam should not be mistaken or misinterpreted as direct experience of the self. Then what is the aparoksha jnanam? Aparoksha jnanam is correction of one's wrong notion about one's own self. Correction of the wrong notion about one's own self is that it is what aparoksha jnanam. So when you say aparoksha jnanam is correction of the wrong notion one has about one's own self, means what does it mean? You already have a notion about yourself, which is a wrong notion, wrong conclusion about yourself. And that wrong conclusion, wrong notion you have about yourself becomes corrected. The corrected notion about one's own self, corrected vision of, conclusion about one's own self, is called aparoksha jnanam. How do you get it? How do you get that erroneous notion about oneself, your own self? How do you get that erroneous notion corrected? It's okay for me to talk like this? Hope I don't disappoint you. So this is where you have to understand, only with the help of the Vedanta Shastra Pramanam, only with the support and the help, aid of the additional means of knowledge called Vedanta Shastra Pramanam. So you may ask, without the Vedanta Shastra as an additional Pramanam, why am I using additional? You need your intellect. Okay? You need your intellect. Without your intellect, you can't use Vedanta Shastra Pramanam. So along with the intellect, your own instrument of knowledge, you are adding this Vedanta Shastra, isn't it? Pramanam. An additional supportive Pramanam. So that you can get your wrong notion corrected. Then you can ask, how does Vedanta Shastra Pramanam help me to correct my, is it, wrong notion? You yourself arrive at the right conclusion. You yourself correct your wrong conclusion about yourself. And to correct your wrong notion you have about yourself, to arrive at the right conclusion about yourself, you are equipped, you are helped. You ask me how, that means what? Vedanta Shastram does not change your perceptions. It does not add any new thing to you. It does not give you a new experience also. So already whatever experiences you have, whatever perceptions you have, those perceptions and experiences are retained as they are. Nothing is changed. And Vedanta Shastram does not give you some new special experience also. That means what does Vedanta Shastram do? If you ask, before you to knowing what does Vedanta Shastram do, you have to understand why is this that I have, the notion I have about myself is erroneous. Why is this there is error in the conclusion about my own self? Why? Why can't I have the right conclusion about myself? So here, even to know that, you need a Shastra. The Shastra says, see, your perceptions are correct. Your perceptions are not wrong. Your conclusions, perceptions are okay. Your experiences are all okay. The problem is with your processing of your experiences. That means what? When you are process your experiences, your processing of your experiences are incorrect, improper. Not that you want to process your experiences wrongly, you're choicelessly, helplessly, you are processing your experiences wrongly. Why? Because you do not have adequate pramanam, means of knowledge. What does it mean? Whatever for direct knowledge, for perception, whatever you have, and the means of knowledge, perception, inference, presumption, etc. Whatever means of knowledge you already have, you are blessed with, you are endowed with. All those pramanams, all those means of knowledge are inadequate. They are useful, they are good, but they are not adequate. Because of the inadequacy of the means of knowledge you are endowed with, helplessly, when you process your experiences, your processing of your experiences becomes improper. because of the improper pulsing of her experiences, based on the improper, isn't it, pulsing of her experiences, you arrive at the wrong conclusion. What is the conclusion? I am an individual, I am a mortal. I was born, I am a mortal, and then I have problems in life, I am going to die one day. It is like how when you see something very far from here, the tiny little star, and we all sing in a twinkle twinkle little star. But stars are not as tiny as we think. As little as we think. No star is, isn't it? So here when we say, see now when you're traveling in a car or train, what happens? There are trees on both sides. They are firm, isn't it? But for us, when you are moving in a train, all those trees on the roadside seem to be running in opposite direction. That's your perception, that's your experience, isn't it? If you don't process your experiences properly, you will arrive at the wrong conclusion. What's the conclusion? Whenever we travel in the train and go in the car on the road, and the trees just standing on the roadside also start running opposite direction, isn't it? What does it mean? Your experience are right, your experience is right, isn't it? So we cannot change your experience. We don't need to change the experience, but you have to process your experiences properly and you have to arrive at the right conclusion. Similarly, anything, you know, sometimes you may say, oh, nothing, you say, no. When you see a small, spoiled potato or tomato, you may say nothing is here. But you cut a small piece of tomato peel and put under the microscope, you see, what is, isn't it true? You cannot see through your eyes, but you can see when your own eyes are very, very bright, good eyes. And you may say, I have very proper vision, my perception is correct. Nothing is wrong with this. You can eat and eat it. Your experience is correct. But your pramana is not adequate, isn't it? To process your experiences correctly. You need an additional pramana. What is that? Microscope. Microscope will be useless without your eyes. But without the microscope, your eyes are inadequate to have to see the microbes, germs, etc. Isn't it? Similarly, that means you need what Vedanta says is, your experiences are not problematic. Experiences are fine, but the problem is in only in processing your experiences. Therefore, the experiences need to be revised. Then When you analyze, then your conclusion based on your revised experiences, properly processed experiences, will be the right conclusion. So all that Vedanta does is, Vedanta serves as an additional pramana for your buddhi. It helps without changing the experiences you have. Without giving you a new experience, all that Vedanta Pramanam does is, it serves an additional, extra supportive Pramanam. It helps you to process your experiences correctly, so that when you process experiences correctly, you arrive at the right conclusion. What right conclusion? Aham Brahma Asmi. Is it clear? Then you are not knowing Brahman, you are claiming yourself being Brahman. And that is called Aparoksha Jnanam. Understand what Aparoksha Jnanam? Arriving at the right conclusion based on revised experiences, by properly processing my experiences with the help of Vedanta Shastra Pramanam, is what? Aparoksha Jnanam. So before knowledge, before Aparoksha Jnanam, what do you think? You think I am an individual, limited being, endowed with body, mind and complex, isn't it? With all these things, and I am a knower, I am a pramata. Then different from this universe. Therefore, as a small, tiny, limited individual, I become victimized by this universe. Therefore, in order not to be victimized by the universe, I always seek Bhagavan's help. So Bhagavan is my savior. I am an individual, victimized by the external universe, seeking the support and grace of savior Bhagavan. This is before Aparoksha Jnanam. And this is the mindset also you have before Jnanam. But this Shravanam and Mananam, what now? Changes. Shravanam, in Shravanam and Mananam, we don't say, I am the knower individual. After Shravanam and Mananam, when you say, I am the knower individual, I'm Pramata, different from the known world is the known, different from me, isn't it? When you say, there you include the mind in yourself. Okay? When you say, I am a knower individual, different from the known world, seeking the Savior's help and support, grace, or protection from this world, you include mind in yourself. And Shravanam and Mananam help you to process your experiences correctly. Thereby, based on the corrected experiences, okay, the properly processed experiences, you arrive at the right conclusion wherein you do not exclude the mind in you, you do not include the mind in you, exclude the mind. This exclusion of mind and inclusion of mind is what? It's like you can never exclude the wave from the water. You can never exclude water from the wave, isn't it? There's no physical separation of wave and water is not possible. Physical separation of light and opaque is not possible. But still, cognitively, you, intellectually, you can separate what? Wave and water. Similarly, in ajnanam, in ignorance, in a wrong conclusion about yourself, I am the pramata, I am the knower, their mind is included in you. In aparoksha jnanam, mind is excluded. If the mind is excluded from the knower, what is there is what? Manifest consciousness, is it? The manifest consciousness is nothing but pure consciousness. And what do you say? Aham Brahma Asmi. I'll make it clear in the next class, don't worry, it's such a very subtle. I just got into it. It's about Aparoksha Jnanam. But this Aparoksha Jnanam itself is not effective, will not be effective, will not be. Still, after Aparoksha Jnanam also, you can continue to be unhappy. Why? Because before Aparoksha Jnanam, you have this mindset. I am an individual, different from the known world. No? Seeking Bhagavan's support as a savior. Bhagavan is a savior, isn't it? And that mindset has to change. After Aparoksha Jnanam, mindset also has to change, only then there is Jivan Mukti. only then there is moksha. And for which you need to do nididhyasanam. That is what contemplation. So contemplation or meditation, contemplation is the meditation, which is nothing but constantly reminding yourself of the fact about yourself, the right conclusion about yourself, which you have arrived at. Thereby to change your mindset, Aham Brahmasmi. Understand? So with this nididhyasanam alone will really result in what? Moksha. Will result in ascertained vision. Will become vision becomes spontaneous vision for you. Effortless vision. Nididhyasanam for length of time will result in spontaneous vision of the truth. Completely perspective change. The transformation in personality also. But without nididhyasanam, this aparoksha jnanam is not effective, still it is incomplete. But without aparoksha jnanam, nididhyasanam is impossible. Is it clear? Therefore, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, three steps are very important. That is why Ganga snanam, come back to Ganga. First dip is for shravanam, second dip stands for mananam, and third dip is for nididhyasanam. It's called changing the format, changing your mindset. And when you come out of Ganga, all over soaked in jnanam, knowledge, isn't it? That you are free. And there's only light. That's why we light the lamps. In fact, in the light means what? Everywhere, what was not before for you, you could not see. No? You could not see, you could not really own a consciousness as the self in the mind. And therefore you could not see how consciousness alone is manifest as this prapancha. Because there is no prapancha minus consciousness, isn't it? So everywhere you see only jnanam, 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 manifest knowledge. Everything is consciousness. Everything you see is manifest consciousness. Every opaque object you see is for, what is that now? Every opaque object is what? Manifest light. Manifesting medium implies what? Light being manifest, isn't it? Similarly, the whole prapancha you see manifest knowledge, consciousness. Everything is Paramatma, everything is Bhagavan. Wherever, any side you see, everything you see, only Paramatma, 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 Paramatma. Everything, knowledge, 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 light, 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 Deepaha. There's no darkness. You resolve the darkness in light. The only light alone is. And when that light, you resolve all the differences, I, universe, Ishvara, all the differences become resolved. This is Paramatma Jnanam, Parabrahma Jnanam, just Jivan Mukti, isn't it? That knowledge, accomplishment of that knowledge, accomplishing the already accomplished, is the goal of human life. That is what is spirituality. And there is no spirituality really speaking. That is why any samadhi experience or any other experience, even raising of kundalini etc., is not at all required. Nothing to do with it. It may give you some experience. What is that experience? Any experience just comes and goes. Nothing. It's not spirituality. But practice of meditation is not a spiritual thing. Not a spiritual thing. If Shastra study is not there, Shravana Mananam is not there, Aparoksha Jnanam is not there, then whatever you practice meditation is not just one of the exercises you do. It's not nothing to do with spirituality. That is why you know, everything is Paramatma. You see only light everywhere, only consciousness. Everything is what? Manifest Jnanam. Manifest Jnanam is what? Pure knowledge. What is pure knowledge? Paramatma. Consciousness, isn't it? Arivu. And that is the spirituality. That is spiritual end is the ultimate end of human life. And that is what is India for. That is what people in India are supposed to be living for. That is what Ganga for. That's why whole year you do anything, every year on this day you are reminded, come on, don't forget your spiritual end. Don't forget your goal. Don't get carried away by other things. So everything is for what? Have sweets, wear new dress. Even the wearing new dress is what? For changing your mindset. After Vidyasana, you have a different mindset. So come back, blow the old coat, have a new dress. And fireworks are all for what now? You're reveling in fullness. It's a greater luxury than reveling in self-knowledge. Therefore, and to celebrate that reveling in fullness is the greatest of the luxury. We have crackers and sweets and everything. This is Deepavali. So on this Deepavali day, all that we can, the best thing you can do is to come to the Gita class and think of Bhagavan and being with Krishna. Being with Krishna means being with Krishna's teaching, isn't it? Therefore, I mean, Bhagavan, really Paramatma, Krishna Paramatma, bless all of us, and from this day, and really with the sharp emotional stability, intellectual sharpness, commitment to study our Shastram, and right understanding of the Shastram, and our study of the Shastram really blesses to correct, process our experiences properly. Thereby we will arrive at, we have right conclusion, and we will go on blessed with all that we need to make this knowledge possible for us. Is it clear? This is Deepavali.